I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Welcome to the show. We just watched the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, and Formula One went out with a 2020 finish because that was... I have my race notes. Can y'all see that my camera? My race notes say Max wins. That is it. That is literally the only thing that happened during the race. Sergio Perez did have a power unit failure and went out of the race, but there really wasn't a whole lot going on in that race. But
hey, and nobody crashed on the first lap.
Nobody crashed on the first lap. This John Massengill, that was Les Kaiser. We have Jonathan Green with us. And we also have Jonathan Green with us. And we are excited to be on the air because this is our final Formula One post-race show of the season. And look, let's start. The disappointing finish has nothing to do with the great season that 2020 turned out to be, because we didn't know what to expect when the season began. And we've had some great racing, new venues, new drivers, lots of crazy stuff happening. So we're excited to be here and excited to bring this to you. And we've had on the pre-show, we had some young drivers, and we got another young driver joining us in just a minute or two. And Kyle Kirkwood is going to join us. And we also have a great interview, if we say so ourselves, with Pietro Fittipaldi that we did on Friday. And man, has he looked good or what, guys?
Yeah, he's the deal. I can't overestimate just how well he's done. He didn't race this year. He hasn't raced for 2 years almost.
He hasn't raced in forever. And the fact that he stepped in that car and has just been a click off of Kevin Magnussen for the whole, both weekends.
Jonathan, I wanted to ask you, so reserve driver such as Pietro, who spends most of his life, it feels like, on the simulators, are they prohibited from competing in anything else? Or what's that situation?
No, he can race in a series. In fact, he's planning on racing in Indy next year. There's nothing stopping a driver from racing in a series as long as it's not on the same tracks as Formula One. In other words, that's why Formula Two and so on and so forth. He's more than welcome to do any of the above. I can see him. He's unlikely. He's just come up a different route. He's more likely to do Indy, and he said that in our interview, that he's more likely to do Indy. So
yeah,
interesting.
He's done some Indy already. The weird thing is he won the 3.5 by Renault, which is what Vettel won, and Ricciardo and so on came through. So he's come through that way. But he's also done Super Formula in Japan. And he's also done Asian F3. So he's had some interesting experience.
Well, let me run down. Max Verstappen goes from pole to win. I don't know how much they even showed Max of the race, because he was out in front of Bottas. I think Bottas was within five seconds for a while there. And so it was Verstappen, Bottas, Hamilton, Albon, Norris, and Sainz. That's a big story we'll talk about in 5 and 6. Daniel Ricciardo, Pierre Gasly, Esteban Ocon, Lance Stroll, Daniel Kvyat, Kimi Raikkonen, Charles Leclerc, Sebastian Vettel, George Russell, Giovinazzi, Latifi, Magnussen, and Fittipaldi, and then Perez not finishing the race. But Max looked great in qualifying and did a good job managing the race today to win. But I think the biggest story from today's race is Sergio Perez going out and Lance Stroll finishing 10th, but giving the third place in the Constructors' Championship to McLaren because Norris finished fifth and Sainz sixth. That is big, particularly on this day that they announced the equity partners, that they are the U.S. equity partners. What do you think, Jonathan? That's a big deal for McLaren.
It's a huge deal. I mean, considering where they've been for the last 4 years, they've been out in the cold, as you know. It was a bit of a joke with Honda, who have also come good for their partner now, Red Bull. But yeah, McLaren were in a mess a few years ago, and to see them back up at the sharp end is really good for the future. Look at McLaren's lineup for next year. Look at this new announcement today, American investment. That's all these things are really positive. And, you know, I think McLaren is the team to watch next year. I think Red Bull today have proved that they now will go away to the winter going, okay, we can take on Mercedes. There's not a lot of development to be done next year. So we're now starting to see a four-car race at the front, if not a six car if McLaren join it, simply because they're getting there too.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, this is a big deal. We talked about in the pre-race show, but this company, MSP Sports Capital, an American company, is investing I think it's almost $200 million, and they're taking a 15% equity stake initially, and this grows to 33%. So Jonathan, man, we talked about it last night when we heard this news, is that this is such a huge deal for Americans. We got an American owner of the series. We've got the Williams team owned fully by an American investment firm. And now McLaren, I mean, it just goes on and on, getting more and more American involvement.
Well, American and Canadian. The North American involvement of in this sport now is huge. And it's interesting, you know, we were all elated when Haas signed a new 5-year deal. But the truth is, it's almost immaterial because it's almost half an American sport now, i.e., you know, in terms of, let's do the analogy with NFL, half the franchises are owned by America.
Yeah. And, you know, think about that phone call, because you remember we had Günther on several times, and he said every time before the announcement that Haas was going to continue for another 5 years, he said, you know, Gene's not for sure. And so what if Gene's thinking about leaving the sport after 5 years? You know, he achieved his goal. He said his goal was to bring the brand of Haas Automation more global. But what if he's about to leave the sport and Chase Carey says, hang on a minute, there's some discussions going on that, you know, that could bring some excitement, bring some more money, most importantly, into the sport. And, you know, maybe who knows how that went down, but that's just such a cool story for us as American F1 fans.
Well, also, John, you're seeing the model of Formula One, the business model of Formula One, changing literally not overnight, but not far off in terms of what it used to be compared to what it is. And what I mean by that is you're now seeing investment companies buying stakes in these Formula One teams, whereas before it was one man, one investor, one team, and the TV revenue was king, which it still is, but it's a very different model. The Racing Point stroke Williams stroke now Haas and McLaren. So I think that's worth the analysis, is to see how Formula One as a business is changing.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder if these guys are just, number one, these guys are investment bankers, essentially, in both cases, Williams and in McLaren. And they're after one thing, and that's profits. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's there's probably some enthusiasm there. But what I'm wondering is, are they expecting the sport globally to grow, or are they expecting it to grow in the United States, which there's, you know, it's been the holy grail of Formula One that's been missing for forever to get to grow the fan base, because it's still a very niche sport in the United States. So, you know,
I don't think, honestly, I don't think these financial moves have anything to do with the eyeballs, so to speak, i.e. the growth of the sport. I just think it's the way that investors now are looking at the prospect of Formula One as an investment. And that's, it's the return on, it, you know, it's the old story, it's ROI. It's the return on investment, ROI. in terms of what money is available now with the salary cap. I think it makes there's some easy equations to make with investment versus return.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe those guys are going, okay, this is going to be a little more level playing field, or you're going to have more opportunities for these smaller teams, and the sport's going to get more competitive and more eyeballs, which does mean more money. So all the above. And well, look, guys, we have a fantastic young American race driver on the phone, and hey, we're going to bring him on now. Mr. Kyle Kirkwood, welcome back to Speed City.
Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
Good, Kyle. How's it going, buddy?
Doing great. Just sitting here in sunny Florida, watch that race. Obviously, like you guys said, it wasn't the most exciting, especially after the past couple of weekends. But, you know, I think everyone's just kind of ready to get 2020 over with. I know I am. I know everyone on the IndyCar side is, and I'm sure they're ready too. So even though it was anticlimactic, I'm sure everyone's glad to get it over with. And I'm just so glad to see Max getting back on top after it's been such a dominant few years with Mercedes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, Kyle, we know who you are. You've been on the show before. I know you are, but I've hung out with you and I've watched you race. Why don't you tell our audience nationally what you're up to and the exciting news for next year, which is Indy Lights. So tell me what you've been up to and how you got to this point.
Well, I mean, this year has been very tough for everybody, not only myself. And I've had to improvise in a few different ways. And I was originally supposed to run Indy Lights with Andretti. We did all the testing. We got completely prepared, showed up at St. Petersburg, did the first practice, and then they cut everybody off and said, hey, look, no, we can't do this event. So that was pretty heartbreaking for me, especially when it was a pretty crucial year for me to move into IndyCar, or what should have been IndyCar in 21. So I've had to improvise a little bit this year. And by doing so, I drove the Lexus GT3 car and both the Petit Le Mans and the Sebring 12 hour, which went quite well for myself. Neither one of the events ended well for us, but we had a good showing. We were really quick. We were up at the top a few times, and it was fantastic. And then also, I was doing a handful of LMP3 races, which we won at the beginning of the year, and I set a few new track records. So obviously not something I'm used to, considering my entire background's been open wheel. I've had to jump into these bigger, heavier sports cars and get acclimated to it, especially with endurance racing and pit stop strategies and stuff like that. And also driver changes, which obviously in a open wheel car, you're never going to do that. But no, it's going to be next year that everything's just been on a hiatus for the 2020 season and Indy Lights. And I'm looking forward to getting things rolling again in 21 with Andretti and Indy Lights in the 28 car.
And it seems like a really big team that Andretti have put together for Indy Lights next year.
Yeah.
Well, they always have four cars. I guess last year they didn't, but usually they always run four cars in the Indy Lights. I think they're still waiting to announce one driver. We'll have those four cars filled. But currently it's Devlin DeFrancesco, who I'm sure you know, ran a bunch of FIA F3 stuff.
Yep.
And has been in Europe for a while, and he's making that transition back over. I think a lot of drivers over in Europe are a little bit more keen on running IndyCar now, especially with the way everything's mixing up in F1 and how much money it's starting to cost to even find a seat. So and you can still make it into IndyCar with like myself with zero budget and have the scholarship and actually get noticed and make it somewhere. So it's kind of cool. There's a bunch of younger drivers that I grew up with that are coming over here.
Kyle, let me stop you there simply because we really are focusing on the young drivers this weekend, and obviously we've been watching Pietro Fittipaldi, whose own run to Formula One isn't the sort of natural route. But just you mentioned something there, and I've known your career. You've done it despite the odds, and what I mean by that is you don't have Mazepin money to go racing, but you've done it on sheer guile and results. And the scholarship programs have allowed you effectively to keep going. So tell our audience a little bit about how you've got to where you are.
I mean, I've had multiple scholarships since I was even in karting in 2012. AJ Allmendinger picked me up, who was a NASCAR driver at the the time, and ran me through karting for an entire season. I got a Skip Barber scholarship, another scholarship to get into a USF car, USF 2000 car for the first time. And the only thing I've had to piece together minus a scholarship was my first year in USF 2000. And if it wasn't for me winning as many races and getting the prize money back to keep going, then I wouldn't have finished the season. It was all just on those wins, which I believe it was 10 or 11. I think it was 11. No, sorry. It was 12 out of 14 wins in that season. And with the little prize money that they give you in that, I was able to keep going. But then after that, I've just gotten scholarships each time. And also you saw me in the F3 car. That was part of a scholarship deal after my F4 season. So there's I'm very fortunate for those. And it's really cool to see over here in the U.S. They do a lot of that.
Well, Kyle, you have had just meteoric rise. I mean, you're blast through F4 and F3 and Indy Lights. I mean, Indy 2000. It's just been amazing. And we've just been excited to have you on every time. But well, hey, guys, we do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have more with Kyle Kirkwood. And let me get out the phone number, 512-643-5483. Give us a call. We got Mike holding. We'll get to you as well. Mike, you're listening to Speed City. Back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We have a great race car driver, Kyle Kirkwood, on the phone, and we're going to get right back to Kyle, but I want to get our caller who called in. We got Mike. Mike, welcome to Speed City. Where are you calling from, Mike?
Just outside Nashville.
Nashville. Well, your voice sounds familiar. Are you the Corvette hauler guy?
That's me.
You got a race coming. You got a race coming to your town.
Yes, and I.
Kyle Kirkwood's going to be coming and racing with you, probably.
I am really excited about that. I've been looking every week to find when tickets go on sale.
All right.
Good.
Well, what's on your mind, Mike?
Go ahead.
I thought that the producers spent a lot of time at the back of the race for Max being his first pole and out front at the beginning. They did start to show it a little later, but there was some good overtaking with the DRS going on, but it was kind of a boring race.
Yeah, it's a shame that Max is winning his second race of the season and we don't get to see him that much, but it really wasn't much to watch up there, but there was some good overtaking, wasn't there?
Right. Yeah, I have to agree. Again, you know, I'm just excited to have someone in America talking this show.
There you go.
Well, welcome.
I was a little slow to find you guys this year, but I'm locked in now. I'm even looking at you on Facebook. I parked the truck.
Good boy.
Well, I'm sorry you have to look at us, but
you're in a parking stop somewhere in North Carolina, huh?
No, actually, I pulled in a hotel last night. I'm hung up outside of Nashville. I'm going to go up to Bowling Green, put another load of C8s on tomorrow.
Fair enough,
man.
I love the fact that I love the fact that you're trucking the greatest car that America's produced in the last few years.
Well, it is a pride thing. You get a little more respect on the highway than the average, you know, Sonic hauler.
Heck yeah, man. If I saw the truckload of C8s, I'd be slowing down for sure.
Well, Mike, we finally, in Trans Am, we've now got a homologation for the C8 next year. So we'll see some C8s in Trans Am next year.
That's great. It's kind of sad, as you were talking, you got different divisions now. We want to start talking IMSA. But when you're a four-car series, it's hard to not place on the podium, isn't it?
Very true.
Yeah.
Love what you guys do. I just get excited to talk about F1. And maybe I can make it back down to Austin to see another race. I did see one, so enjoyed that. It was good to see Alonso with his old Renault out putting some quick times in with slick tires.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt.
And he'll be in action again tomorrow, yeah.
Right. You guys, stay safe, have fun, keep doing what you do.
All right, thanks, Mike. We appreciate you calling.
That's right. And hey, Mike, it's not over. It's the end of F1 season, but Speed City keeps on going year-round. Find us right here where you're watching and listening to us now.
All right, thanks, Mike. All right, well, let's get back to Kyle Kirkwood. Kyle, and, you know, you talk about the excitement for next season, and...
I'm guessing he'll be racing at Nashville, don't you think?
It's up in the air. I'm not sure exactly what is happening. I haven't heard anything from IndyCar on that side, but I've heard from a couple other drivers that Indy Lights might be going to Nashville, which I was actually talking to Patricia Ward about it yesterday or the day before, and we were like, hey, you're going to be going over that bridge both ways as the two straights, and they're very, very long straights for being on a road course, and we're thinking to ourselves, like, man, this is either going to be the best race in the world, or it could be a disaster. We're not but that's the way that we were thinking about it. But if that's going to be on the schedule, I'm going to be really, really excited, because I love street course racing. We already have St. Pete, Detroit, and Toronto on the schedule, and to add that into it, I would love it, because in karting you're always close to walls and stuff, so that's something I'm used to.
Well, Carl, give us your take. Obviously, you watch motor racing as a driver yourself. What have you seen this year in Formula One, especially with the news now off the back with McLaren getting more American investment? We've now got Williams, McLaren, Haas. You could also consider Racing Point. But there's a big difference now in Formula One than there was probably when you started racing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I don't really understand the business side of F1 as well as maybe I should, but it's definitely changed a lot ever since I was really young. And what I've taken from this year, I'm glad to see a few of the younger guys that I've grown up with karting, like Pietro, get a shot, and unfortunately under the circumstances.
So you used to race against him?
He used to live in Miami, and it used me, Oliver Askew, Latifi actually used to be there as well for most of those races. Stroll was there. Pato was there. It was a lot of guys that are in F1 and IndyCar used to all come out of karting here in South Florida.
That's pretty cool, man. That's a star-studded karting lineup, isn't it? Man, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we all used to race against each other, and we all grew up kind of the same route in Rotax karting. And
come on then, Carl. Who's the best?
I'm not going to say anything on that. I'd like to think I am, but I'm not sure.
Hey, you know what's funny is that we talk about, you know, guys at the highest levels, and Kyle, you got to be right in that mix. If somebody were to say who's the best talent, you have to be. I mean, your successes in every series you've been in have just been incredible.
Phenomenal, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I try to be humble. I've grown up with like all those guys. I'd like to think that I'm kind of at the same level as they are as I was in karting. But I haven't raced against them in so many years. So I'm not really sure until maybe I get a shot to go back after it again, you know, against them.
Well, talking of shots, your progress obviously is phenomenal, but what is your hope? I'm guessing IndyCar, right, at this point?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot, like I was talking about earlier, a lot of the younger drivers are coming, looking at this, and it's starting to be way more intriguing. And I know for the 22 season, which is kind of my time frame for getting into IndyCar, that it's going to shake up a lot with some of the older drivers, a lot of younger drivers coming in, more drivers coming from Europe. So it's going to be, I think, a good position for me to kind of make that transition from lights into IndyCar and hopefully have a long-term commitment with them, with one of the teams there. So that's kind of my goal at the moment, is looking towards IndyCar in 22 and getting through 21 with Indy Lights.
And, you know, I think about the popularity of Indy. It just seems to be getting more and more popular. And you're saying drivers from Europe and things like that. So I think it's getting harder and harder to get an IndyCar seat. I honestly think you got everything it takes to get there. But don't you agree it's probably getting harder to get an IndyCar?
It is, because, like I said, a lot of the drivers that are coming over from Europe, they're bringing good money. And they're also very good drivers as well. You know, they're at the top tier race in Europe, and teams over here, they have to look at him hard, just like Pelot, bringing Pelot in to coin. He's done a phenomenal job, and yeah, it's making it tougher in that sense. But I've also got a ton of experience on all the tracks here. I know all the teams, I know a lot of the sponsors here, so I already have kind of an edge over them. But there are some really good drivers coming from Europe to make their way into IndyCar, I think, in the next couple of years.
All right, well, Kyle, can you hold on? We got to do another quick 2-minute break, and we will come back more with Kyle Kirk. We'll talk a little Formula One, and we got a caller on the line. We'll get him on as well. You listen to Speed City, and we'll be back after a quick break.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipe since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi guys, this is Greg Astley and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
We have a caller on the line and I'm very excited to hear from this gentleman because he's a huge McLaren fan. Andy P, welcome back to Speed City.
Good morning, guys, and happy P3. Wow.
Constructors, man, that is such a great story, isn't it, Andy? And with where McLaren was and where they are now, P3 in the Constructors' Championship and winning it for the season. But I got to talk, before we go into that, Andy, I want to ask you, I'm assuming this is you, this part of this consortium, you've opened your checkbook and you bought into McLaren.
Oh, without a doubt.
Definitely. We are talking to the investor.
I had to send this to a group chat earlier, and it was a gif of Loki from with his finger over his mouth, so I'll never tell.
Andy, we had Kyle Kirkwood on the line as well. Fantastic race driver. But, just talk about your enthusiasm for what's happened with McLaren. It's just amazing, really, in the last couple seasons.
I mean, you contrast this with where they were even 5 years ago, and it looked like such a chasm of what they were going to have to do to even get to be respectable again. I can't say enough about the leadership of Zach Brown, that he has restructured that team. He's gotten all of the people he's wanted to get over time. It hasn't come, easily. They've had to wait. They've had to wait for other contracts and stuff to go out. But you see the pieces coming together, and it is so exciting to see this team get back to kind of where it belongs. And hopefully, it's going to just continue to springboard from here. Now they have the big gap. Now it's, the top two are still, very, very clear of the rest of the field. But, with the new rules, new Mercedes engines coming in. It's just so exciting to watch the development of it. It's really fun.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think I'm so excited for next year. You know, we didn't know what we're going to get this year, and it turned out great. But next year we have so many things happening, and I'm just really looking forward to it. But well, Andy, hey, man, thanks for calling. We really appreciate you tuning in and calling in, and I was really hoping you would, because when I saw that McLaren had wrapped up the championship, you were the first person I thought of, honestly.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure listening out to you guys all year. Thank you for doing everything that you do. You know, I know it's tough sometimes when the races are at 4 a.m. to be up and be full of energy. So, thanks again. And here's 2021 and all the good things moving forward. And the COTA lineup in 21 is stacked.
Yes.
W Series and F3. So get your ticket. Just a shameless plug, because I love to see that pack.
I know.
Packed. I will be there.
All right, Andy. Well, hey, we'll see you when you get here to Austin.
I'm good, guys.
Take care, Andy.
Yeah, man, W Series coming, and I'm very
and
much
F3.
Looking. Yep, and F3.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I think Kyle should get an F3 entry in Dakota just for fun.
What do you think, Kyle?
I would definitely do it. No doubt about that. I love doing that race. It's phenomenal. I know both years when I was there in F4, and then when I was there in F3. There's so many fans there just for those two events. Us driving on that track with the amount of fans that are around is bigger than an IndyCar event. So that was incredible both years.
Hey, let me ask you this, Kyle. Do you think that the exposure you got, I always thought, man, this is such fantastic exposure. Do you think that exposure helped your career?
Oh, it's massive. It is absolutely massive. You know, when I got back to Florida, people recognized me and they're like, oh, you were racing at the Austin race. Yeah, I was just out there watching F1, because there's a lot of F1 fans down here in South Florida. It was huge exposure for me, and winning both of those was massive.
Oh, yeah, it's such a fantastic when they had it there with F1. This year, F3, F4 is going to be the following weekend. F4, excuse me, because they're going to have the W Series. But I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm really excited to see the W Series. You know, we had Jamie mm-hmm. Chadwick on the show, and she was really impressive, Kyle. And she's obviously fast and impressive. Have you followed the W Series?
Yeah, you know, I know there's a lot of very, very good drivers in that. I know Sabre Cook quite well. I actually saw her just a couple weeks ago. She was down here. It's going to be phenomenal. There's such a big group, and there's great racing in that. And they were like the Indy Lights season, where they had to go on a hiatus. So, no, that'll be awesome to watch them actually start making it overseas and turn it into a massive championship.
Yeah. I think that, again, speaking of exposure, I think that the W Series being at all the Formula One races next year, all of their races are going to be at Formula One events. So that's got to be huge for that series.
It will be. Just the one race in F3 there at COTA is what makes the whole year. So them doing it at every single F1 event, kind of like FIA F3 or F2 for that matter, it's going to be big for them.
Hey, Kyle, obviously Indy Lights had a year off this year because of COVID and because of life, I guess. But that's also made it quite interesting, because you've now got, we had a few guys coming down to Formula 3, and I say down, but, you know, joining F3 or Formula Regional this year. What's the composition of Indy Lights next year? Who are you going to be racing against, and who do you know as former, rivals?
You know, there's not really rivals. I wouldn't say one driver who I've grown up kind of racing against is Stingray Rob. He's always yep. came up through all the ranks, and he won the Pro Mazda the Indy Pro 2000 championship this past year, after the season after me. I'm so confused with the years now. Linus Lundqvist is going to be phenomenal. He's obviously dominated in the Formula Regional Championship, Formula Regional Americas, and I've never raced against him, but I've only heard good things. And he comes from over in Europe, which obviously is a lot of top tier drivers over there. So I'm looking forward to having some really good competition.
Well, Kyle Kirkwood, we've got to let you go. We got an interview with Fittipaldi, with Pietro Fittipaldi. We got a place. We got to let you go, but we want to stay in touch with you in the off season. Our regular Sunday night show is going to continue on, so we want to get you back on when you know, get things really solidified for next year and get you back on. But thank you so much for coming on, man.
That sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
All right. We'll be back after a quick break with our interview with Pietro Fittipaldi.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin, online at DucatiAustin.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Well, I hope Gene Haas and Gunther Steiner are taking a long look at how well Pietro Fittipaldi did. They obviously know that all the maturity and all the intangibles are there with this guy, but he held his own jumping in the car. He hasn't had much time in that car and hadn't much time racing at all. And we caught up with him on Friday afternoon, and we've got this interview with him, and we're really hoping that he could end up on the team. I'll just be blunt. I know that Mazepin has got money, but I'd love to see it. So let's play this interview we did with Pietro. We caught up with him on Friday.
Okay, Speed City fans, we are very excited to have one of the Haas F1 drivers, and very excited to have you back on the show, Pietro Fittipaldi. Welcome back to Speed City.
Thank you, John. Yeah, it's a pleasure being back here. Last time we spoke, it was earlier in the year, much earlier in the season. So it's cool to be back.
Hey, Pietro, fantastic stuff. Your debut. First and foremost, how sore were you afterwards, and how pleased were you, given your time out of the car, how well you did over 87 laps?
Yeah, I mean, the day that the pain was the worst, like that I was most sore, was after Friday. So Saturday morning, I woke up, my neck was extremely sore, lower back, my legs, because it had been a year since I've driven the car, the Formula One car, and 9 months since I hadn't driven anything. So it had been a long time. And I woke up Saturday, I had to take some painkillers, you know, like a ibuprofen or whatever, just to kind of help the pain a little bit. Then I went through Saturday, it was fine. I woke up Sunday morning with, you know, less sore. And then I went through the race fine, to be honest. Like, I physically, I was good throughout the race. And I woke up on Monday and I wasn't that sore. So I think it was more just after the first day. It was like a shock to my body, but then my body just started getting used to it.
Well, Pietro, I was watching your lap times and I pulled them up and I was really impressed because in FP1, you were about a full second behind K-Mag. And then FP2, you were down to about 6 tenths down. And then FP3, you were 3 tenths. So you're getting better and better throughout the weekend. And what ended up in the race, 4.5 seconds after 87 laps, what's that, 0.05 of a second per lap. I mean, you've got to be ecstatic with your performance. I know the team was. I heard some of the team radio and everybody was just over the top excited how well you did.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good week, and I came into it with the mentality to take it step by step, kind of raise the volume up until, you know, qualifying. I had a penalty, which was going to put us, you know, starting last anyways in the race. So the team asked if I could help Kevin tow him throughout the lap to try to get him a Q2, and it was the right call, obviously, since I was starting last. But then, yeah, in the race, we had very good pace. For sure, there was that safety car at the end, you know, that brought us all together. But the actual pace, like throughout the race, as you said, like lap by lap, if you compare, Kevin's a great driver. He's a great reference. He's been with the car, driving this car for 4 years, I believe. And yeah, we were on pace, and I was happy about that. And I'm looking to make a step forward here, especially in racing aspects, like in running in dirty air, running in traffic. That's definitely where I can really make a step forward now, having some experience.
I was going to say, what is it particularly that you not struggled with, but that you want to take into this weekend? And it's sad that Roman isn't obviously going to race, but it's an opportunity for you to move forward again. Is there one particular aspect, whether it be like driving in dirty air or pit stops, or even just the mental approach? Is there anything that you're trying to head to tomorrow going, right, that's what I want to work on?
Yeah, you know, make a step forward is running in traffic, because in practice and in all the testing I did with Haas, you never really have the opportunity to run in traffic, because you always want to get clean air. In practice, I mean, you might get one car in front of you and you can stay behind for 2-3 laps to see how it is, but in the race you have a lot of cars all around you, so that makes the air, you know, makes a lot of turbulence, a lot of dirty air, and each racing car that you drive, it has a different characteristics, you know, running in traffic. So I was only able to see how the car handled in that situation in the race. So that's why I was getting better with it throughout the race. That's where somewhere Kevin is very good at, and I'm you know, learning off of him. I've been watching some of his onboards and some of the other drivers to see what they do with the car when they're running in traffic. Because, you know, start of the race, I was behind Kimi. And I think our pace was a little bit better, so I was trying to overtake him, but I just couldn't get the same exit as him. Every time I would get close to him, you know, I'd lose the rear of the car. When I'd get close and they're braking, it would just kind of, you know, start locking up. So I was just looking at the different ways that that drivers follow, and that's where I think in this weekend I can make a step forward.
Hey, Pietro, I want to ask you, because you've had some time on the track at Abu Dhabi before. So are you going to feel like a lot more comfortable, because now you've been in the car, you've, you know, in a race situation, you've had a lot more interaction with the team, but having raced on Abu Dhabi before or tested there before, you got to feel more comfortable going in this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, everything's a bit more calm, I would say. I was calm going into my first, you know, first race weekend in F1, but I had a lot of things I had to memorize before the race and before the weekend started. So I was really using these days, you know, like last week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just really working with the engineers and trying to get everything soaked in my brain before the weekend started. And this week I'm able to kind of relax, be a little bit more relaxed and enjoy these days, you know, before the race. Obviously, I'm working a lot on the things that I can improve, but it's a lot calmer, I'd say, and it helps that I've driven here in the past.
Pietro, just tell the American fans who might not be aware, just the sheer fact of getting to your super license was one heck of a task for you in the last 2 years, which involved driving in different championships, getting over an injury. It was touch and go. So just to be there, it must be so pleasing, and to be able to, you know, to qualify, as it were. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, because, you know, the FIA put this super license system in place a couple years ago. But you know, my sponsors kind of took me down the Renault Championships route, and you know, for the FIA, they didn't give those points, those championships enough points in my opinion. And after I won the World Series Championship, I had won 35 points, but I was missing five. And you know, my career, I've been able to race a lot of different things, and sometimes it wasn't by, you know, pure choice. It was just the opportunities I had. But you know, I had those missing 5 points, and the only way you can get those points is by racing a full championship, a series that qualifies for points. Each series, you know, give a certain amount of points, but you have to, it depends on your standing. So you can't do a one-off race and gain points. You need to do a full championship to gain those 5 points. When I was racing IndyCar, it was a part-time program. You know, I was supposed to race Super Formula full season in 2018, but I broke my legs. So it was a lot of, adversity we had to fight, but we finally got the super license points. And and then, you know, the opportunity came for my debut. Wasn't in the best way, but thankfully Roman, after the accident, he's, you know, very lucky, and we're all very thankful that he walked away with only burns in his hands, because it could have been a lot more serious. But yeah, like I said, I had to fight a lot of adversity just to get to Formula One. And we're here now, so it's difficult to get to Formula One these days. It's very difficult, and you know, my career hasn't been you know, a perfect line of F4, F3, F2. I've been racing, you know, with the things that were presented to me, the opportunities I had. I've won races and championships on ovals. I've raced a bunch of different cars, and I'm racing Formula One.
You know, that was my next question. You know, Jonathan said the American fans, we are going to claim you also. You're born in Miami. I know you're, you know, under the Brazilian flag, but we're going to claim you. And I know you were born in Miami. You had spent some time in North Carolina and spent some time in NASCAR, but you got to have a lot of fans and friends in America still.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was born and raised in Miami. When I was 14, from karting, I started racing late models. I started racing late models in 2011, and I was racing a lot at Hickory Motor Speedway in North Carolina. And our team, Lee Falk Racing, was based in North Carolina. And I was leading the championship towards the end. And my family decided to move to North Carolina because NASCAR was the path I was going to take, because I was, you know, winning the late model championship, which I ended up winning at the end of 2011. And my family moved to North Carolina, and they've been there ever since. And then in 2013, I got the opportunity to come to Europe, and my career took a different path. But you know, my parents still live in North Carolina. After the race here in Abu Dhabi on Monday, I'm flying back on the same flight as Gunther, because he lives in North Carolina. I'm flying back home and spending Christmas and New Year's with the family in the States.
You know, this is just, you talk about your super license struggle, your path to Formula One, no one could have scripted this. This is completely different from anybody. You know, it's not the F4, F3, F2, and it's really cool that you've got this great path. But Jonathan, I know you have one more question.
Yeah, I do. Forget what Gunter says. Forget what Gene says. I want to know, after you stepped out of the car, what the great Emo had to say, what Christian had to say, and what Max Pappas had to say, because you've got some pleasing to do amongst the royalty of racing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I spoke to my whole family after the race, obviously beforehand too. They were all very happy. But you know, Christian and Max, I mean, they've been giving me a lot of advice. You know, for my first race weekend, but Max, my uncle in particular, he was, because in F1 they have a system in F1 TV where you can watch every car's onboard in yep. every session. So Max, you know, he works with William Byron in NASCAR as a driver coach and advisor. Yep. I wouldn't say driver coach, but as an advisor, and he's very good at what he does. And he was going, you know, throughout the whole race weekend. You know, after I've had the meetings with the teams, I'd go back to the hotel and I'd have a call with him. And we were going through everything together. He would send me the notes he would do, because I'd be in the same session and he'd be looking at videos from Kevin or from like a car that's kind of similar competitiveness as us, and sending me kind of the things he saw where what they were doing differently and how I could improve. And after the race, he sent me a full report, especially on race traffic stuff, how I can improve. So he's been helping me tremendously. And it's cool to have a family that has, you know, so much history in racing, and for sure it helps without a doubt.
Oh, no question. That's a great. I mean, that really is, because, like I said, I'm no kidding aside, they really can help as a support and backup. And you kind of need that, because, I mean, Formula One, even though you're prepared and even though you've dreamed about it, I mean, I've seen young kids get into Formula One, and there's a lot of people talking to you and a lot of pressure, and you suddenly realize what you've got, the whole of those 40, 50, 60 people, both in Europe and in North Carolina, all behind you, and you've got your hands on the wheel. So it's a big responsibility.
No, it is. It is definitely. And it's, you know, racing in all stages of racing, like it can be karting, it can be Formula One, any racing, the principles are the same. But obviously when you get to Formula One, the stage is a lot bigger. The pressure is higher. I wouldn't even say the pressure is higher, because you always put pressure on yourself to do well in anything you do, you know. But I would say definitely, yeah, that it's the same principles, just with a much bigger team, a lot more people, a lot more input, and in a lot more detail.
So, well, Pedro, hey, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you've got to be, we talked about how you're being calm coming in this weekend because you've had this under your belt, but what specifically about this circuit this weekend are you, you know, are you thinking, running through in your mind, thinking, I know you talked about racing and traffic, but what about the circuit itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's a higher downforce track, Bahrain, that, you know, they were calling the other Bahrain track, the outer circuit, an oval, but I've raced on ovals, it's definitely not an oval. But it was a track where there's a lot of straights, less corners, so overtaking was a much bigger possibility. Here it's going to be a lot more difficult to overtake, higher downforce track, more corners. So it's gonna, it's a different approach over here. So it's going to be interesting how the weekend goes. You know, you have a track where the in qualifying, the tire only lasts one lap. Not even a lap. When you get to the third sector, your rear tires are already overheated, and that's something you have to manage and with the team for qualifying, and especially in the race. So it's a different track. It's a different approach. So it's going to be interesting.
Pietro, obviously this has come out of the blue for you, but you know that's what motor racing is all about. You take your opportunity when you get it. What about the test after Abu Dhabi? Will you be part of that? And what are the plans for your future now that you've got? We'll have two runs.
Yeah, in the test in Abu Dhabi, you know, unfortunately for me, you know, the team had already decided on the two drivers for next year. I for sure want to, you know, get a race drive full season in Formula One. That's my dream, my goal. I'm already really grateful to the team, to Gunther and Gene, for the opportunity of doing these two races. So for the test, I think the team is going to have one of their race drivers for next year doing it. But for next year, I mean, you know, there isn't a race seat available in Formula One, but I'd like to keep my foot in it, and I'd like to do it with Haas if the opportunity is there as a reserve driver. But my priority is to be racing next year, and if I could pick the ideal situation, I'd be racing in IndyCar and as well keeping a foot in Formula One with Haas. That would be the ideal situation.
And have you spoken to some teams, or are you looking at that, or is that something you have to wait until on Monday before you can even think about?
No, yeah, we've been speaking to some teams. We've been speaking, and you know, things are moving forward. It's not finalized yet, but we're definitely speaking to some teams in IndyCar.
Pietro, the way you stepped into the car, you know, I think about Hulkenberg, how he stepped in, you know, that one morning he was sitting there eating breakfast, but the way that you stepped in with way less experience and as good as you did, I mean, honestly, I was rooting for you, but I'm kind of stunned how well you did. And I think that a lot of people are thinking the same thing. Not that I didn't think you could, but the fact that you just literally were thrown into it. Yeah, at least you had, you know, a few days notice, but the fact that you just got thrown in and did that well, I'm just so happy for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, we were lucky because it wasn't like a Thursday call-up. So, yeah. You know, Gunther told me on Monday that I was racing. So I had all those days beforehand to prepare. And the team did a great job to get me, you know, as prepared as they can be. If the team wasn't good at getting a driver ready, then I definitely wouldn't have been as prepared. So the engineers did a great job. The mechanics, you know, everyone from the team, from marketing to team management, you know, they took me through everything. And that's why I think I had as much, you know, that's why I think I was prepared as I could be, you know. And at the end, as a reserve driver, you always got to be prepared for an opportunity, you know. So it's the thing, you know, when preparation meets opportunity and good things happen. So I always got to be prepared. And when the opportunity presents itself, you got to make sure you're ready.
Pietro, we're going to let you go, but I got one more question for you. I hope you don't mind, but when we spoke to Gunter, I kind of sold your brother as well, because I said you do get a twofer, right? And so just as Wilson and Emo did it back in the day, you and Enzo are doing it. Are you going to get him on board, help you out?
Yeah, the dream is to have him as my teammate. That'd be a heck of a brotherly competitiveness like spirit there. I think we have to speak to Gunter and Gene, maybe have the two Fittipaldi brothers racing for Haas. That'd be a dream.
Pietro, we really are excited and appreciate you coming on. So keep your head down. I love your maturity. Stay off social media, and maybe an opportunity will pop up for you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you. Keep working here, keep focused, and we'll have a good weekend.
You know, we are going to keep our eye on Pietro Fittipaldi no matter what happens and try to get him back on the show. He is so fantastic, and I'm...
What a great kid.
I know, and I would love it if he can end up on the Haas team. But hey, guys, you know how I don't like to miss anybody who's tweeting at us. And some Paul Bryan, we've interacted with him quite a bit on Twitter, but he said, what you're missing in your post-race comments about the business discussion we were having is that until a broad-based global gambling platform can be established in F1, it'll never grow as the NFL, NBA, and others did. He said that can't happen until more teams are competitive at the front. And I agree with him for sure about the competitive and the gambling. You know, there was that the gambling platform that was discussed, but I agree, unfortunately, that's a part of big sports, and he's probably right. So, we are just about out of time. We got about a minute and a half left. Jonathan and Les, we've had a great season on SiriusXM and doing Formula One again and for our third year, and looking forward to next year, getting excited about it. And, of course, our Sunday night show every Sunday night. You can go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and find out how to listen to that. We'll be continuing through the off season. We want to thank all of our guests this year, all of our listeners. Everybody's been a great Formula One season. And any comments from you guys before we shut her down?
Yeah, well done to Formula One. Hats off to put on a season in the middle of a global pandemic. They did it, and they did it well, and they did it responsibly.
Yep.
Absolutely. I'm going to second everything you just said. The other is I'm already looking to 21. I want to see these other tracks coming on board. I want to, you know, go to Zandvoort. I want to see all of that come into action and see the new names on new teams getting juggled around. The whole deck has been juggled now.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Good season, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.